Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you. That shall rule my people, Israel. I'm going to stop there. Amen. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. Matthew's narrative concerning not only the birth of Christ, but the child Christ, in that his very presence posed a problem to the established status. His coming on the scene, the pronouncement of his arrival, was not without controversy. So that when Matthew or Levi records his account concerning the birth of our Lord. And incidentally, when you read this account, those who believe that he's not a babe in the infancy sense, but there's some who believe that he was at least 1 to 2 years old by the time this visit took place. And these men who were of a Median tribe called Magi, or in common terms, wise men, who were really nothing more, and that is not to play down their profession, who were really nothing more than astrologers. They studied the stars. As a matter of fact, they were able to make accurate predictions through the means and medium of stargazing. And like all of Israel, the world was looking for a supernatural intervention. Things were tough, not just only in Israel and in Jerusalem, but all over the then known world. That certain people of the spiritual profession, the astrologers, all anticipating that something phenomenal would happen. That a certain star would appear to denote the arrival of the promised child. From Isaiah to Micah and even Moses, it already decreed that one would come like Moses, meek and humble, and would reign with the compassion of Moses. The prophet likened unto Moses would show up. Micah and others saw through their prophetic eye of prophecy, one who would come and set David's throne aright. For wicked king after wicked king had ascended to the throne. One oppressive leader after another ascended to the throne of David. One failure after another. But the prophets of old had an ear to God's mouth and an eye to God's telescope. They could see down the stream of time that things will not remain the way they are always.
Amen.
Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, began to see what God had in store. To the end that there are several pronouncements in that book that talks about the one who would come through 40 and two generations. Isaiah saw him on one occasion as a warrior whose garments were stained in blood. Who is this, he says, coming from Edom with dyed garments of Bozrah, treading the winepress alone? His garments were stained with the blood of warfare. And we don't have to guess who he had been warring with. He's defeated the prince of darkness. He has rid the world, in Isaiah's eye, of satanic terrorism. Thus his garments are stained with the blood from not just mere warfare, but victorious warfare. And the man that Isaiah had his eyes on was one who would not be a victim, but he would be the victor. Prophet Isaiah looked again and said, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." He saw him in his royal family lineage. He saw him in his authority, for the government shall be upon his shoulder. And to his kingdom, his reign, there'd be no end. All of these men of Scripture had a clear understanding that God was up to something in history. That God was working out his perfect plan through the thread of history. So that when Christ makes his arrival on the scene for the prophetic eye, it's no surprise. Micah even had to say something to the city called Bethlehem, the house of bread, is the interpretation. A little village where nothing much ever happened. But now he says, Bethlehem, you are by no means the least of all the towns. Because what's about to take place in you, God's going to elevate your reputation. And your name going to be heard everywhere. And people will begin to reverence and worship in that place because of his presence. And so it is when God began to move in the area of prophetic fulfillment, Jesus' coming is no surprise to those who were looking for him. To the end that when these magi, these wise men, gazing at their astrological charts, their charts of astronomy, their charts that pointed to where the precise place this child would be, they noted that it was in Judea. And immediately they made their way to where he was. And their approach to King Herod is basically based on the fact that Jesus himself was born to be a king. It's one of the primary reasons why they stopped at Herod's house first. Because in their mindset, if he's a king, he must be born in a palace somewhere.
He must be holding up residence in a palace. But tonight I hear scripture as it's suggesting to us, all great things don't always start in great places. And that sometimes God will do his big stuff in humbling circumstances. And I thank God for that, because it suggests to you and I that you don't have to be of a certain ilk, a certain pedigree, in order for God to use you. You don't have to be of a certain status for God to manifest himself through you. And he will, and he still does, make his way to humbling circumstances. And God takes that which is a humbling situation and he exalts it to another level. I'm glad tonight that when God decided to put purpose in my life, he did not demand that I be born in some place that was secluded. He didn't demand that I be raised in some white collar house, but God came straight to the ghetto. Got somebody who was a nobody and put his spirit on him and raised him up. He still goes to the ghetto. Sometimes God doesn't have to go through the front door. He makes his way through the back door. Sometimes God does behind our backs what he's already planned for us before he brings it before our face. We call that providence. God working behind the scenes before he puts you on the scene. I believe tonight that right here in this room, God is doing some work in somebody's back room. You don't know it, but God's up to something, and he's about to put you in a place where you've never been before, raise you to a level where you've never been before, and begin to do some things through you that he's never done before, to make the world understand that he doesn't need the world's trappings and trinkets to get done what he wants done. He can do what he wanna do. So when he comes to Pharaoh, when he comes to Herod's house, the wise men look at Herod and they say, where is he? Yeah. He born king of the Jews. Herod's confused by this statement. Who are you talking about? We want the one who's born king. Well, we have seen his star shining. We've seen the star. The star led us right here in Bethlehem. We know he's around somewhere, and we know that because of his status, we know he's got to be in this area. And since this is a palace, if you will, we cannot help but assume he's right here. Ah, that's why you and I can never live life with a kind of assumption. You and I can never pin God, if you will, with conventional wisdom. Sometimes he does the unconventional thing. Many of us have missed our blessing because we're looking for God to come one way. But God comes, as I said, another way. You think he's got to come by way of tradition, but God is not trapped by tradition. God can do anything he wants to do. Sometimes you're looking for God to come through somebody that's dressed up in a, if you will, in a tailor-made suit. But sometimes he comes in a man who's a bum-looking kind of fella, who looks like he don't have nothing going on, who looks like he's been through 20 miles of bad road, but yet God got what you need in some very peculiar people. That's why the Hebrew writer says you got to be careful, because many of us have entertained angels unaware. I cannot and you cannot afford to turn your nose up at anybody, because none of us know how our blessings are going to show up. Is there anybody here can witness with us? Look at the text. The text says, when they came to Herod, Herod is queried about it. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? The very announcement, the very pronouncement, the very declaration is a threat to Herod. Because if another king is here, then where is this king going? You see, Herod's thinking, now, wait a minute, you can't have two kings. You can only have one king. And as far as Herod was concerned, he was the only king at that time. And I hear God saying, you don't understand, Herod, your expiration date is coming up. You don't understand, Herod. I've already began, if you will, to raise up my monarch who's going to usher in peace and justice and love. And to his reign, there will be no end. This king I'm about to raise up is a king who's able to make blind eyes come open. He's able to make deaf ears come unstopped. He's able to interrupt funeral processions and raise the dead. He's able to cleanse the leprosy. He is able to break down barriers that have kept you apart from one another. He is able to put an end to odious ritualistic practices. He is able to usher in a whole new age. This king is not a king of the flesh, but he's a king after the spirit. He is a king, if you will, who will not rule from a throne in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem, but he'll rule from the throne of men's heart. This is the kind of king we got. Our king doesn't have to sit on any seat down here. He rules from the hearts of men and women. Is there anybody here tonight can testify that he lives in your heart? That's why you're able to handle anything the enemy brings upon you, because the one who's ruling and reigning in you, he helps you and I to keep it together even when we don't have it together. He's able to sustain us. He's able, yes he is, he's able to strengthen us. Because he's King of kings and he's Lord of lords. So Herod seeks counsel. He seeks counsel. He seeks counsel. That's the first thing he does. He seeks counsel. And in his seeking counsel, he calls the priests. Notice the language. He calls the priest of the people. He doesn't call his priests. He doesn't call the palace priests, because now he's not trying to hear what he want to hear. He's now trying to hear what he needs to hear. He doesn't want the palace prophets. He now wants the prophets and the priests who labor among the people, because he knows now he doesn't need a word that's politically correct. He needs a word that is prophetically sound. So he doesn't send for the temple priest. Notice what the language says. He calls for the priest of the people. In other words, he wants somebody who's in touch with the divine word of God. He wants somebody who will speak straight and clear to him. He wants somebody who is living among those who've been looking for a change. He wants somebody who may have heard something in the streets. He wants somebody who can tell him what the word is in the street. He's looking for somebody who's not in the comfort zone of the palace. And I want to tell you, every now and then you got to get out of your comfort place and hit to the street and ask those on the street, what's the word on the street? The word on the street is a brighter day is coming. The word on the street is that trouble won't last always. The word on the street is that God's time is coming. The word on the street is I may not have everything I want, but I got what I need. The word on the street is they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word on the street is the Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The word on the street is many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. The word on the street is these light afflictions cannot be compared to his glory. The word on the street is, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. I say the word on the street is, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion. They shall not be moved. Come on, give him glory. Every now and then, you got to go out of your comfort zone and seek somebody who's got their ear to God's mouth. Come on and give him praise on tonight. I'm almost finished. So then we have to look at Herod's counsel. We look at Herod's counsel. He gets a word from those who are among the people who are in waiting. Anybody been waiting on God to give you a word for your situation? Anybody been waiting on God tonight to speak a rhema word to your situation to the end that he turns that whole situation around? I want to tell you tonight, whenever you get a word of hope and a word of life, it can brighten up your day. It can lift up your heavy burden. Whenever you hear a word of hope, hope can bring you new life. The word of counsel, the word of where is he? And I hear them saying he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. What does the scripture say? Herod, we don't know too much about what the word on the street is, but we do know what the word of the prophets is. And the word of the prophet is that in Bethlehem, God was going to bring him who is the bread of life into the house of bread. Herod says to them, I don't understand. You've got me confused. And all the devil's always confused when God starts working in your life. I want to tell you tonight, Satan might know some things, but he doesn't know all things. And you need to rest in the assurance that Satan knows that God is up to something in your life. The problem is he doesn't know what he's up to. Aren't you glad that some things the Lord has put a veil over the devil's eyes? He can't see your promise. He knows you have promise. He knows you got a purpose. But his issue is he doesn't know what your promise is. He doesn't know what God has labeled your life to become like. All he knows is I got to cut up enough and bring enough distraction into your life to get you off focus and to get you to the place where you miss out on your promise. But if you stay with God tonight and understand that what God has for me, the devil can't undo it, because this thing that God has for me did not start at the day of my birth, but back into the corridors of eternity before my mother and daddy could see me. The Lord knew my name. He knew what I was going to be. He knew what his plan was. And I know if God be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. Can you shout glory tonight? So he's listening to the counsel, but in the midst of it, he's confused. And that's always a good thing. When the devil gets confused. You see, when the devil gets confused, he gets irrational. When the devil gets confused, he becomes unreasonable. When the devil gets confused, he gets desperate. You can tell when the devil is desperate because he starts acting up in every area of your life. This happens and that. Have you ever had that happen? This happens and that happens and that happens. And seem like it all comes in right behind each other. Well, you need not get upset. Just know this. The enemy is upset. And when he's upset, he starts messing with everything because he's trying to figure out exactly what it is he can touch to mess with your mindset and to steal your joy. But let him go on and mess with your children. Let him mess with your finances. Let him mess with your health. Know this. He doesn't have the last set. He can send your children this way and send your husband that way and send your wife this way and cause things to mess up on the job and cause things to mess up in the community. But as long as you know that God is God and as long as you know he is still able, the devil's season is very limited, because after all he messes up, here comes the hope of glory. Straighten out everything the devil has messed up in your life. Have I got a witness? Anybody know he can turn it around? When you look up, your son and your daughter getting saved. When you look up again, your money getting right. When you look up again, doors are opening for you. When you look up again, you got a clean bill of health. Because when God gets ready to come into your experience, he knows how to straighten it all out. Come on, shout glory. The devil gets confused. When he's confused, he gets desperate. He gets desperate. Let him get desperate. Let him get desperate. But then when you look at the next thing, he moves from counsel to being confused. Now he moves to cunningness. He moves to see when all his stuff stops working. When he can't get you to walk around with your head dumb down in your lap. When he can't get you to walk around looking dumbfounded. When he can't get you to stop giving God praise. When he can't get you to stop praying on your knees. When he can't get you to stop believing that things are going to get better. When he can't get you to stop tithing and to stop giving and to stop loving. When he finds he can't stop none of that, the next thing he does, he gets cunning. Look what Herod said to the wise men. He said, I tell you what you do. I want you to go and find him. But when you find him, come back and tell me, because I want to worship him also. You don't hear me. Go back and find him. And when you find him, come back and give me word so that I can worship him also. I also need to tell you, the devil's crazy, because if he thought for 1 minute that God didn't know his scheme, he had another thought coming. And like all criminals, they never think past the crime. They think up to the crime. Come on, give God praise. Aren't you glad there's no secret that the devil can come up with that God don't already know about it? That's why you ought to go to bed at night and stop worrying about who don't like you, and stop worrying about who's setting a trap for you. If they set a trap, you won't get in it. If they try to do you in, they can't do you in.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliatt Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences. A church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.